Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
Welcome to Extra Beans.
Welcome.
More beans. A further serving of beans.
Quite hot beans as well, this. This tranche.
Are they?
In terms of the temperature and under which we had to record them?
That and the themes which came out thereof. You've got fire, you've got hot tea, you've got volcanoes.
Yes.
You know.
And what was the last one?
Time travel, which doesn't work.
A hot topic.
Yeah. And also quite a lot of hot and salacious material, isn't it, that you only get when you're in the inner sanctum, which is too hot for general consumption, isn't it? It's stuff that would attract litigation, stuff that would attract multiple lawsuits, ruffle a lot of feathers. But we don't care in Extra Beans, do we?
Probably disrupt paradigms, I want to say. Maybe.
Sorry, someone dropped a jug on the floor. There's lots of shards everywhere. Oh, no, it's a bunch of paradigms. The three bean Extra Beans lot have been through. Yeah. We didn't just upset the apple cart. We set fire to the apple cart and cook an apple strudel on it. Yeah. So it's not gonna be. But of course, those people who aren't members of the Patreon, they're just sucking on the teats of capitalism, and we're selling them a lie, isn't it?
Well, so your pitch is that joining our Patreon frees you from the shackles of capitalism.
Well, as we've explained, either in the main pod, or I can't remember, I don't know where it's going to go, but we have explained recently, haven't we? It's not a financial system. This is not money. You're not paying us. We're looking after the money so that we can essentially save you in the
Yes, although we explained that in an episode about cults, which hasn't gone out yet before this has gone out, which is in the next 4 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that was a callback or forward to our episode about time travel. What was it? Future past, don't know. Meow, 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 meow.
Yes, the listener, the fact that you're confused just serves to prove that we are involved in time travel at the moment. So,
yeah. It's like watching a time travel film, e.g. Looper with Bruce Willis. You enjoy it more if you stop analysing it and wondering if it's worth it or a waste of time.
That's quite a weird film to grab for, Looper. Is it the classic time travel film?
Yeah, I don't know why I did. It's not a classic time travel film. It's a good film. It's a good time travel film. And it's one where I really remember a very clear moment of going, I don't understand this at all. Not even slightly. Why are they a real waste of time from the writer's point of view? They spent a lot of time probably concentrating on trying to get this to make sense and add up. Don't care. I'm enjoying Bruce Willis's performance. I'm enjoying the sci-fi elements.
And you're able to let go. Just let go. And that's really what you should do here, dear listeners, is try not to scrutinize it too much. Simply let go. Let go and enjoy some bonus material from our episode about fire.
The other incident where I quite badly hurt a friend.
Mm.
Well, this one didn't hurt so much, but we were on our way on holiday.
There's no pain when you're dead, is there?
There is no pain when you're dead. And after the Bobby incident, friends of mine realised that it was a good idea to anaesthetise yourself fully before a play date with Henry, because at least just. I think mercifully, if I can just go quickly, was seen as a result. I was playing with. No, there's another one where I was on holiday with my friend Jackson, where we were going on holiday. I was going on holiday with him and his family. Did you ever do that? We go on holiday with a kid and their family. Did you ever do that as a kid?
Went on holiday with other families.
Yeah.
But hang on, were you with your family or had you been sent alone?
I was sent alone. I was joining them on their family holiday sort of thing.
Oh, no. My family always wanted to go on holiday with me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Again, after the Bobby incident.
Was this a holiday to prison?
It was an indoor holiday. There was a canteen. There was, like any holiday, the toilet was in the room. You could walk around outdoors for 15 minutes a day, I think it was a holiday. So it can be a bit awkward when you go on holiday with a friend and their family as a kid. Did you ever do that, Ben?
No, I don't.
No, okay, maybe it's just me. Because you're in their world. But anyway, on the way up to the holiday, we were on the plane. I was sitting next to my friend Sam. Sorry, I was sitting next to my friend Jackson. We were just fooling around. We were just messing around as kids. And we were sort of punching. We were having a little play fight, essentially.
Mm.
But then, during this play fight, he sort of grabbed my face. I grabbed his face. But then at one point, I sort of grabbed his nose and sort of twisted it. Twisted it.
Oh, God. Which I think is a Moss outfit. That's top level Krav Maga, that is.
Because the nose twist is the only way to instantly separate someone's brain from their spinal column, isn't it?
Yeah, you only use it if their thumb is literally poised over the ignition button of a bomb. It's the only possible justification for the nose tweak.
So I twisted his nose, and obviously there was a yelp of agony.
Mm-hmm.
And
the landing of planes.
Obviously the planes internationally, all Northern Hemisphere planes had to obviously in that situation have to find the nearest airport and land. And even if they can't find an airport, they'll land on a ferry dock. They'll have to land wherever.
Drop and squat.
Just drop and squat. There's obviously this protocols for a nose twist. It's called, and there's even a phrase for it, isn't there, that air traffic controllers use, which is the samosa has exploded. They'll say,
which all pilots dread hearing.
They dread hearing that.
Which is also why you can never buy a samosa on an airline for legal reasons. Yeah. In case it's one does confusing. Explode.
Yeah.
Nor can you bring one on. No.
Yeah. Which is why you've never seen a samosa on an airplane. And obviously, they will.
Briefly, you were allowed to bring one on if it was pierced, so it wouldn't burst.
But that's right.
They got rid of that, didn't they? I think in '96.
That's right.
So the protocol when someone tweaks a nose on a plane, often what they'll do is they'll say, "Is there a doctor on board?"
Yeah.
Often someone will put their hand up and they'll walk over to them and they'll say, "Why can't you do anything about this? It's the one thing doctors can't do anything about. You're useless in this situation.
You idiot.
You berate the doctor.
You berate the doctor.
Then you alert the priest.
You alert the priest. And the people who if you sit near the wings of an aeroplane, you'll have been told the protocol for if this happens, they'll all instantly, if they're doing their job properly, because they get the increased legroom, but the trade-off is, in this situation, they all get up from their seats. They open the door over the wing, and they chuck out the doctor, don't they?
They chuck out the doctor.
So you chuck the doctor out, reseal it, and then just pray. But I twisted my friend's nose, and it eventually regained its initial because I twisted it clockwise, I think. So eventually it just. Because righty tighty, isn't it?
So you just keep going in the same direction all the way around, just complete the 360.
That's what you have to, is it righty tighty with noses? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Everything's righty tighty. That's why it's such a handy phrase, isn't it? So it's righty.
Mm-hmm.
So you twist it back. You keep twisting it, don't you? Because then the internal
mechanism relocks.
Yep. Yep. And the cartilaginous ball bearings. They sit back in their little crevices, don't they? And the whole thing clicks out again.
Yeah,
just a tad, clicks into place again. And but basically, what then happened was, and I was like, okay, that was a bit over the top what I did, but like, and the parents were like, what's happened, and I was like, it's fine, isn't it? And Jackson was like, yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, don't worry, it's fine. Because he was looking out for me. But the trouble is, though, he had this big red mark on the front of his nose, right? And here's the thing that was weird about it. It was a perfect square. perfect square of red on the whole of the front of his nose. And bearing in mind, we're at the age here now where we were a little bit like, oh, we might meet some girls on the holiday or whatever. We might, you know, go to the hotel disco, and, you know, we were both, you know, in that sort of phase, quite vain, you know, the vanity of sort of teenagers. And it's a perfect square of red. Now, from a geometrical point of view, I don't know what that means. How I must have twisted his nose, because a nose is, I suppose, if you get a sphere. You can imagine a square within a sphere, can't you? You know, like the what's it called again? That van,
the Vitruvian nose.
Vitruvian nose. There is a square, isn't there, within a circle? If you look at the Vitruvian nose, there is. Yeah. So that's the square that I found. I found that square in the circle of the front of his nose. So I must have twisted it really quite.
You just brought it out.
I brought it out.
It was already there.
It was bright red. And we're like, oh God, sorry, look at yourself. Okay, but obviously it'll go away. At some point, it'll fade down. Next morning, even more puce.
Ooh.
The square was dark red. Third day, the square's still there. Fourth day, has it gone down a bit? No, it's because the bedside light's not on. Turn it on, it's even brighter. The entire holiday, a week, he had a bright red square on the front of his nose. And I was living with this family.
A constant reminder as well to his family.
Exactly. That I'd essentially assaulted their son on the way over. And they were now still paying for my board and lodging, my buffet breakfast, my snorkeling gear. You know what I mean? They were looking after me. They were giving me hospitality, but I had assaulted their secondborn. And actually potentially made their secondborn not capable of, you know, from an evolutionary point of view, not capable of finding a mate and reproducing, potentially. Do you know what I mean? So I'd actually truly stank out the joint. There's another way of putting it.
How many more holidays did you go on with that family after that?
I think we all know the answer to that.
Every Christmas and Easter.
Because their solution was, Henry, you just have to keep making more and more red geometrical shapes all over his face and body, and he can just tell people it's a look. Yeah. No, I think after that, we took quite a long holiday from seeing each other again.
Oh,
but the rest of the holiday was quite awkward. Yeah.
Can I... this isn't to do with the topic, really, but you talking about what happens when someone twists a nose on an airplane reminds me of something I found out this week, which I think is amazing, which was in 2010. I found a web article about this. This actually happened. There's a flight attendant called Stephen Slater, 38 years old. When the plane landed in New York City, he was a flight attendant. When the plane landed in New York City, he contends that a passenger became abusive towards him during an argument about luggage.
Mm-hmm. Believable so far.
The flight attendant had enough. He got on the plane's public address system, cursed at the passenger. They don't say what exactly he said, but I imagine he said, "Fuck you!"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then he said, "I've been in this business for 20 years, and that's it. I've had it. I'm done." Afterward, he took two beers from the beverage cart, deployed the emergency exit, inflating the slide, and then scrambled back down the... scrambled down the chute and ran home.
Is that the flight attendant who did that?
Yeah.
On the airport runway?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, "I've had enough of this shit. I'm quitting in the most spectacular way I can imagine."
That's a magnificent mic drop
moment.
That's
a hell of a way to go, isn't it?
What a hero.
So few jobs you can use an inflatable slide for to exit.
Yeah.
If it's there, use it.
Also, that's a really extreme case of, "Oh, damn, I left my phone. I can't crawl back up the slide. I can't. I just leave the phone. I can't crawl back up the slide. There's no way."
Amazingly, he did climb back up the slide because he'd left his bag on the plane.
Oh. Wow, that's extraordinary.
Let's read your emails. We've had an email from Julian. Julian writes, "Hello, Beans. This is Julian from Wales.
Okay.
I'm curious about how this powerful trio first coalesced. How did you all meet, and what were your first impressions of each other upon meeting? Was Mike eating one of his foil-wrapped 70s sandwiches? Was Henry eating a banana or bacon roll? Was Ben bragging to someone about the meat he'd grilled on the weekend? Yours sincerely, Julian."
Certainly all of the above at first meeting, which happened in the commissary of a FedMax in Arkansas, I seem to remember.
It was, wasn't it?
I mean, none of us were there through any fault of our own.
What was weird about it was that all three of us were independently trying to start a prison riot at the same time. It was like, what? We'd literally...
Because we'd all read the self-help prison book that said that's the best means of escape. Is under the shroud of a riot.
Henry was actually one of the guards, but he decided to go prisoner, which is quite rare.
Yeah, I went native. That's right. Yeah, I went prisoner. It was reverse Stockholm. They call it reverse Stockholm syndrome. And then I remember Ben, because we all tried to start the riot at the same time. So I was trying to flip one of the canteen tables, and Ben was trying to flip it from the other side. Mm-hmm. And it was like we couldn't flip it. Do you think we were actually?
Well, we ended up lifting up a table, basically.
Which is it? We ended up just lifting up a table. And then Mike saw what was happening. You came and sort of helped us out. And then it was extraordinary. And, we basically all ended, we'd all completely independently, people don't believe this, but completely independently, we'd all made very similar sort of shanks, hadn't we, we'd come up with. And we just ended up shanking.
Shanked the ground, didn't we? We didn't want to shank any people in there.
We ended up just
shank the ground and made an accidental tunnel.
That's right.
In the end. Shanked a tunnel out of there. And yeah, during, I think it was about halfway through that tunnel, just before we sort of broke into the sewer system, we came up with the idea of probably turning this into a podcast.
Which is, and it's weird that we've actually, it's taken till now for us to tell the story that the podcast was supposed to be about, which was about that. And of course, the reason it's three bean salad was because on the lunch menu that day in the canteen was three bean salad, wasn't it? It was three bean salad. And we sailed. We found a gator, didn't we? There was a gator in that sewage tunnel, and then we ended up sailing him home, didn't we?
Across the Atlantic.
And that's where we sailed that gator across the Atlantic, didn't we? I tell you what, those extras from Fire didn't just warm my cockles. My cockles blimmin' nearly exploded. I don't know what's going on.
And what would soothe those cockles, Henry?
You know what would soothe those cockles? A nice, hot cup of magma from a volcano.
Well, the next one's tea.
Well, we don't have to do it in that order, do we? We're supposed to do. A cup of what they call Partridge's Doom. Isn't it? Cup of tea.
I was reading an article only this weekend about a young man who'd been travelling in Canada and got attacked by a grizzly.
Similar.
Very, very,
very similar stuff.
Very similar.
I think I preferred yours, though, to be honest.
There's no playbook for what happens with a squirrel, right?
No. No one's saying you've got to back away, avert your eyes, pretend you're leaving their territory.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're up your shins too quick.
Yeah. And that's why, of course, there's such a huge industry in all those squirrel horror films, isn't there? Because it's such a terrifying, isn't it, idea. I mean, you can go squirrel cage
in the wilderness.
You can go squirrel caging, can't you? I haven't even got the guts to do that. Because in the New Forest, I think they do a thing where you can go into. You can.
When they lower you in.
They lower you in, yeah.
To a special sort of cage trouser.
That's right, yeah. With a couple of nougat balls hanging around your crotch, which are nougat chum. that draws them in. I tell you what, There are sort of three mega brands, aren't there, or so, that control British tea. Mm. You've got Twinings.
Oh, really? I was going to go Tetley's Yorkshire PG.
Well, okay.
Typhoo. But, is that quite 80s, Typhoo?
Yeah, it does seem 80s.
It feels 80s, doesn't it?
Well, Twinings feels like the Twinings one, with that sort of slightly more of a... It markets itself as a bit more of a premium tea, doesn't it?
Twinings is the sort of one where you have to check that you're not buying loose leaf by mistake.
Ah, that's a nightmare. This is great tea stuff. I like this tea chat. See, Ben's hating this tea chat. I can see from his face. But this is observational, good British chat.
Lived tea life.
Can I say what I think is pathetic about tea drinkers? What?
Go on.
The fact that they have their own brand. And I won't. I'll only have...
Yeah,
If it's not Tetley's, I'm not having it. If it's not Yorkshire tea, nonsense.
Screw you. Because I've settled on... I think I've settled on PG Tips after quite a few years of trying different ones. But I think Twinings, I imagine Twinings were absolute colonial bastards. I imagine they had an army and they were just complete shits, the Twinings people. But
Wittards.
Mike, have you ever gone down Lapsang Soochong Road?
I haven't. I've enjoyed
That's
it.
That's the smoked tea, which has a kind of...
I'll have a Lapsang holiday. Yeah. Sure I will.
Sometimes it's too much, but at least it's there for you.
Yeah. Just as it is.
Quite often in my house, I will start closing the windows because I think someone's having a bonfire and then it's my girlfriend drinking tea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that'll probably be Lapsang Soochong. Ben, how many hot chocolates a day are you on? Because that is quite a hard to fit into the rhythms of British life. You must be having to net quite a lot of that stuff.
Is it the first thing you drink in the day? Like a sort of Georgian aristocrat?
See, that's why you're such a soft... You are a sort of aristocratic softy in so many ways. I think it's because you're imbibing so much warm, chocolatey... It's essentially sort of baby drink. It's an infant drink, isn't it?
Yeah, I make it with human breast milk, yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course.
We should get online.
If you're hungry, you'll have a rusk to top it off. Sure you will.
I wouldn't have it on my own in the house. No. But if I'm meeting someone, as you say, it's part of the ritual. If I'm meeting somebody at a coffee shop or what have you, then that's what I'll go for. But yeah, very rarely make it at home. Yeah.
But no, there is something a bit twee, isn't there, about the keep calm and carry on. And people talking about dunking and stuff is a bit annoying.
Oh, it's gross. The fact, Henry, that you've settled on PG Tips, does that not rather point to your...
The fact that I used to find monkeys dressed up as humans funny in the 80s? Yes, it does.
that's what I was about to mention.
They look delightful and amusing. I don't know what they're going to do next.
They don't either.
It's hilarious. And neither do they. They're confused. Probably quite scared.
Because there was a moment, wasn't there, where people realised that they only smile when they're distressed. That, that really put a downer on the whole monkey thing.
They're not finding it hilarious that they have plates of biscuits in front of them and they're dressed up.
And they want to go back to the Congo, please. Because they miss their family.
Those ads were deeply offensive and troubling.
It does feel absolutely mad that in very recent history we were making chimpanzees advertise tea. It's so bad.
It is bad. Yeah, what do the advertisers reach for now? They reach for a lot of sort of brass band northern... That's how we do things, don't they? with the tea advertising,
yeah, probably a poem of some sort.
Yeah, yes, a lot of brass,
and just an ordinary member of the community, fresh in from a sort of hair-raising rescue.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. She's just saved seven lives.
Yeah,
she went back out in that, and now she's back.
And now she's having.
She's still got to go home. And wash her son's football kit ready for the big game tomorrow.
Yes.
And that child became...
Zinedine Zidane.
Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah. Yorkshire's finest. One of our most proud exports to France via Algeria. It's another story.
On my trip to Europe, I went, Mike, on what you'd have to describe as the most provincial dad day out possible on this planet, I think.
Ooh, okay.
Hitler's bunker.
Hitler's bunker is not there anymore. So, no. It's time for... Provincial Dad Chat.
Who's hit my bloody walking boots?
I'm not saying it's ruined the holiday. I'm just saying I asked for rum raisin.
Get your skates on, kids, otherwise we'll miss the inflatable session.
She's taking her mother to see Blood Brothers, which means more Top Gear time for me.
Why would I need to go and see a podiatrist?
Of course I've kept the warranty information, darling.
Any guesses, Mike?
Ooh, I'm assuming there's a strong chance there could be a military history bent to it.
Mm-hmm. Warm.
Is it open air as well?
Partly.
Is there a keg at the end of it?
Serving a keg?
Serving draft craft beers?
It's not just a pub, Mike.
You didn't visit Europe's deepest fibre optic broadband exchange, did you? The very hub of EU internet. Buried 1,000 miles beneath Zurich, Sandtown town centre.
The Riga King Spider? No. shall I put you out of your misery?
No, I want more guessing, please. Okay. Can I have more guessing?
Mike was right with the military history thing. I don't understand what he's getting at with the keg. Unless it's like
what country? Beer hall putsch.
It wasn't the home.
You can have the beer hall putsch reenactment night where you all have a load of beers and you sort of do a putsch.
I have been there, but that isn't where.
What country was it, mate?
It was in Germany.
Okay. Mm. Which city?
I was staying in Leipzig, and I went there on the bus.
Was it in an airfield? A disused airfield?
No, it wasn't a disused airfield.
It wasn't the glass-bottomed boat sausage factory tour, where you get to sail through the sausage meat.
The Unterwurst.
No, not that.
I went to, and I feel like Mike's going to know what this is, Colditz Castle.
No.
Nice. Yes. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good.
Wowee.
There must have been just hordes, like Mecca, but with provincial dads, was it? Hordes and hordes of them stampeding over each other.
So it was me. I went on a tour, right? It was taken around by a German woman called Steffi. Mm-hmm. She was taking around me, a sort of nice but very posh couple from Gloucestershire.
Yeah, of course.
And then a Canadian man wearing a Spitfire T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. He just to be really clear whose side he would have been on back in the day.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
That man owns over 4 Leathermans. I'm going to say that right now. He's got the Leatherman, he's got the backup Leatherman.
And he was absolutely appalled that he wasn't able to bring any of them on the plane.
Yeah.
He was the kind of person that thought he knew more than the tour guide did about Colditz.
Oh, so a proper alpha provincial dad.
Yeah, and had been there before 4 times, or this was his 4th time.
Oh, man.
And so he was kind of getting ahead of us, and he was like, well, through here, of course, is the where the French POWs were.
No. Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. And then the couple from Gloucestershire didn't say anything apart from, isn't it clever? Every sort of 10 seconds.
Oh, right.
Oh, isn't it clever?
So there is a small but vibrant neo-Nazi community, isn't there, in Gloucestershire?
I don't think that they were talking about the ingenuity of the POWs
Wow.
It was real provincial dad stuff.
And how was it? Was it good?
I have to say I really enjoyed it, yeah. But it's a weird place because it's in Germany. Hmm. Germans don't really know anything about it because it's just a prison of war camp, but it looms so large in the British provincial dad mindset.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Because it's all about, you know, the plucky Brits getting their way out and building a glider and all sorts of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like at that level, I don't know, in my mind, you know, like these sort of officers, the sort of officer class stuff that was happening in the war in those, this is probably quite offensive to a lot of people, but I imagine it was all just a bit of a sort of game almost. It was just a very polite game played by very posh Germans with very posh English people.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
Well, when you get senior enough, you mean? When you're at the senior level where you're sort of pushing around little models on sticks on big snooker tables and things.
Yeah. Because if you were staying in Colditz, does that not mean you were like quite top brass?
Yeah, so it was officer class types, yeah. So and they kind of all respected each other in a kind of odd way. So yeah, only one person died there, I think, the whole time.
Really?
Sir Geoffrey has foiled us again. Oh. He is quite remarkable, and I can't wait to discuss how he did it at our dinner party this evening. Can't wait for him to tell me.
It's exactly like that.
Excellent.
We're going to be discussing Proust.
Yes.
Like they used to do things like they'd make a dummy head of a person, and then in the roll call, then there'd be an extra person so that someone could escape and they wouldn't realise. And yeah, nice. It was a lot of making stuff, and it was all very eccentric.
A lot of crafts.
Yeah, a lot of crafts.
Highly skilled crafts. And a lot of tunnels that are served by, you know, they have electric lighting throughout them and a sort of like, you know...
And the ability to make a sort of half-decent croque madame.
Exactly, yeah. There would be there would certainly be a cost of a concession stall, a minimum cost of machine they'd have every 200 or 300 feet.
Yeah, so I think it probably was quite horrible being in there.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
I think they got the probably the best deal going during the 40s in that part of the world, you know what I mean?
And is it like a sort of gothic castle that they're actually...
Yeah, it was an old castle they'd turned into a POW camp. What I found funny was they had a big chart of the different nationalities and how many people had escaped and how many times they'd tried to escape.
And how big their moustaches were. And was there a correlation?
And on the leaderboard, France was top.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's like, I'll probably get this wrong, but it's something like France, like 18 people got out and the number of attempts was 18.
Mm.
And then it'll be like the Belgians... 12 people got out, number of attempts, 14. And then it was like Britain, number of people that got out, 11, number of attempts, 150.
That's how we get things done. That's amazing.
And the reason was because Britain hadn't been occupied, we still had an intelligence service, MI9.
Indeed. Escape and evasion.
Who were tasked with getting stuff into... Colditz to help people get out. So they were basically trying to mastermind ways of getting
out. So they're having to
break
in. They're having to tunnel in to deliver equipment to break out. Is that right?
Sort of.
And it was only 3 years into the war, isn't it, when they had the brainwave. They could use the tunnels they'd used to break in. They could just use those to break out rather than break in, deliver all the equipment, then reseal
break
the tunnel.
In, deliver a how to build your own tunnel manual and some shovels.
Four fake moustaches, completely unhelpful, not needed at all.
Henry, that kind of attitude, that is not cricket. That is not how you, as a British officer, carry out your... You must tunnel your way out yourself.
And all the escapes, they'd have constant checks, which is, okay, this works, but is it cricket? Have we done the cricket test? Okay. So we can go through there, but would that be cricket? Yes, it would be cricket. So we're going to knock out the guard. I mean, is that cricket? There was a lot of bowling and bats, presumably. No, but there would have been so much gentlemanly stuff, wouldn't there, about is this okay?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was cool. So yeah, Britain was really involved, like really got into the idea of trying to get people out, whereas French people obviously didn't have a government supporting them outside, but they just sort of quietly got on with it.
Well, the fact is, there was probably so much gentlemanly stuff going on between the English and German officers that you could just biff something on the head and walk out. You didn't have to come up with an ingenious plan.
But that wouldn't be cricket.
It wouldn't be cricket. And the escapes were so ingenious, weren't they? Some of them, like there was one, and there was so much craft involved, wasn't it? As we discussed, there was the one where they built an entire fake Colditz, didn't they? Next to Colditz, with the German officers.
Plasticine.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think also there was a sense that if you were a British officer, if you didn't have to dress as a woman at some point, it wasn't worth it.
You weren't trying hard enough.
You weren't trying hard enough. Yeah. And then basically all of them got caught straight. Like they'd get out, but then they'd get caught in the countryside or whatever, or they'd get on a train.
Yeah.
And then
dressed as a washerwoman.
Exactly.
It was blatant.
And someone would go, Guten Tag, wie geht's? And they'd go, oh, sorry, I've got no idea. Oh, no!
They got you! Oh, you silly, silly boy, they got you. Okay. Oh, come on, back to the castle. Let's all have a glass of excellent wine.
Okay, try and say thanks for listening in such a way that it sounds like you actually mean it.
Thanks for listening. No? What's wrong with that? We've never said it before.
I think it was a classic moment of Henry Packer.
A non-earnestness.
Earnest.
Look, I just don't have that polish that other people have. I just come across as cold and uncaring. Because I haven't...
Imagine you were doing a voiceover for a premium car brand and then take the intention that you would... used to say something like premium leather seats and then infuse that into thanks for listening and then see what you end up with.
5 CD players.
And a boot that just goes on and on and on. The new Lexus 415297 4524B.
You're there? You're there? Now say thanks for listening. Now say you're there. You're there. You're in the zone. Now say thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. Can I just have another go at that? Can we go again? I know you hire the studio by the hour, and it, yeah, I know normally it's you telling the person to try it. No, I want to try again. Yeah. Thanks for listening. That's not bad, that one, the last one. Bit more warmth on. Bit more warmth. Okay. Okay.
Felt a bit cold still to me.
Okay.
Bit technical.
But that's maybe because you were selling a Lexus, which is like a kind of, you know, cold steel. Maybe you need to be selling something more like...
cat food.
Cat food. Perfect. Yeah.
And that is just perfect. Those cheeky little scamps that light up your life, they're obligate carnivores. They can only eat meat. Feed them wet meat. And enjoy their wet licks on your face. It's a really horrific way of looking at what a pet is.
Okay, you're in the zone.
We've crushed a series of other animals into this can.
So that the animal just, in a way, just by an accident of history that society has decided is a pet class animal, can feed on other animals, which really, objectively speaking, have every other, you know, just as much right to live. And actually, if you look at them, certainly at your infant stage, just as cute, just as lovable, just as into things like gambling, frolicking, you know, delightfully jumping onto a sofa. But just because society or history decided that those are meat class animals,
they're now wet paste for your pussycat.
Yeah, wet paste. No one called any of these ones Fluffy or Brian. No. They are a number, a cursed number.
666. yeah. Right, so you're in the zone. Mm-hmm. Put that into her. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, no.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. Okay, hang on a minute.
You hold the listener in such contempt that it's almost impossible for you to say this.
Okay, hang on. Just move it. Hang on. Encased in warm golden caramel. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we've got it.
It's as close as we're going to get, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's as close as we're going to get, isn't it?
Sometimes people liken the experience of listening to our podcast to thousands and thousands and thousands of litres of hot gas being fired into their face from the side of a mountain. And for those of you who feel that way, well, you're in luck, because it's time to hear us talk a little bit more about volcanoes.
So we had a bit of a technical glitch there, which was quite exciting.
We did, didn't we? It's got to be this heat, this... Human beings were not supposed to operate at 27 degrees. It's crazy. What's the sun? What's the heart of the sun? 28, 29 degrees?
Yeah, it loses a bit on the way here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it loses a bit on the way over.
But one of us forgot to press record.
No.
Yeah.
So we had to use...
No.
No.
Whoa.
I pressed record.
And the heat stopped it from working. The heat got in the way. We're talking about a temperature, Mike, where forget boiling an egg on a car or frying an egg on a car.
You could have made a bœuf bourguignon on my laptop.
Ben was frying an egg on his recording machine.
Yeah. You can't fry an egg on the car when the car itself is fried. The cars are fried. They're fried cars. The pavements are frying the cars.
So we've had to use the zoomy bit for that. That chunk,
yeah.
Which so I don't know how you feel, Henry. I'm personally thrilled because we've been doing this long enough that it was inevitable that at some point one of us wouldn't record an episode or part of an episode.
Yeah.
But the chance of that being BP, I mean, when a cock up is inevitable, but you aren't the one that is behind the cock up, it's a lovely feeling.
This is the equivalent for us, for me and Mike. This is the equivalent of Gandalf. Basically, on his way out of a cave, of a sacred cave, just literally like stubbing his toe, going, for fuck's sake, and just stacking it. Oh, fuck!
Yeah.
Falling over. I got my fucking staff up. I've landed on my staff.
Accidentally burning a hobbit to a crisp.
Yeah.
Sorry, who are you in this analogy?
I have landed on my staff, so I didn't do the voice for him. Oh, God, I've got...
Henry is Thorin Oakenshield. Son of Thrain, son of Thraw.
I've literally swallowed the ring of Gundamathia. Oh, thank God. Oh, fuck's sake. Ow, these fucking sandals. Fuck this.
Bloody Smaug's heard us now.
Fuck off, you short prick. Yeah, I know you're doing. You fucking short prick. Fuck off.
Isn't it? It's bloody brilliant for this.
God, Mount Doom is too hot. It must be what? 28 degrees up here.
The Eye of Sauron itself be not as hot as this.
Yes, I would like to apologise. For some reason, the recording didn't take place. I did press record. I'm sounding a bit like Boris Johnson here.
Mm. You did not have sexual relations with that woman. I did press record.
Oh, hang on. Someone's at the door now. Oh, it's all go here. Someone's at the door. Oh,
bloody hell.
Imagine if it was Ian McKellen.
Hello, Michael.
Hello. People think I'm a national treasure. What they don't know is I'm litigious beyond your wildest fucking nightmares.
Was it Ian McKellen?
At the door?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's furious. Yeah. Absolutely furious.
How many writs did he serve you with?
18 writs, all on a long stick.
Yeah.
He was mostly furious about your impression of him.
Okay.
So he's giving them to me to serve to you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, Ian.
Sir Ian to you, Henry.
Sir Ian.
He's still pacing about now. I can see him pacing. Yeah.
Is he pacing up and down outside?
Yeah.
And he wears the Gandalf stuff, doesn't he, all the time? That's his natural. yeah, that's his.
Which in this heat, I mean, no wonder he's in a foul mood.
Yeah. Look, we're all crutchety.
It's febrile, isn't it?
It's febrile. A car alarm's just literally heard a car alarm going off. That'll just be sheer heat. There's people trying to burst fire hydrants and literally just fires coming out of the hydrants. They're literally fire hydrants. And we don't even have them in this country. That's how hot it's got.
They've sprouted.
They've sprouted. I went up a volcano once I think it was in Indonesia. And
dormant, extinct, active.
I think active.
Ooh, that sounds like a poor piece of judgment.
Well, that's the kind of traveller I am, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I dice with death, I take risks. I like to feel alive. So we went up this dormant... No, I think it was an active. It was active volcano. But I was picturing the perfect conical volcano that you picture, don't you? It's basically an upside-down funnel painted black.
Yeah. Covered in dinosaurs.
Covered in dinosaurs. hot red liquid coming down it. And just a very, very discreet and nicely done little Costa at the top. Just blended in. That's what I was picturing, but actually, it was just a very, very sloping area. So it was an uphill walk, very pebbly, sort of rocky.
Pebbly?
Pebbly and rocky underfoot. But we got to the top, and it wasn't really, it wasn't a hole. Because I imagine that you look down into the hole, don't you? And you see boiling lava.
You want a nice big fiery pit.
Yeah. But all it was that towards the top of this, it was quite a sort of gradual slope. Quite a slow, boring walk up a quite a gradual slope, not a steep slope, and just towards the end of the walk at the top, there were holes in the ground out of which was spilling just the most disgusting smelling, rank, yellow, eggy, disgusting, smelly gas. It was just disgusting.
Sulfur.
Is it sulfur exactly, which is eggy? It's like, it always looks like industrial waste. It doesn't look natural. It's that gross. Mm. It looks like something you might find coming out the back of a sort of McDonald's or something. You know, it's like it's horrible. Like there's no natural wonder to it. It's just stinking yellow, eggy. So that's what, when you think of the Romans and you think of the Pompeians, you think of these magnificent human beings living under the shadow of a beautiful conical volcano. No,
do you think there had been quite a lot of time where it just smelled like an old egg sandwich?
Yeah, it's just an eggy smelly gas,
and there's people wandering around exchanging obscene pottery. You know what I mean? it's not as edifying as we might think.
Take that, Rome.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been near. I mean, I think I've been up extinct volcanoes. I think Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh is a.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Oh, is it really?
Dormant or extinct. That's going to be. I'm going to get bollocked for that.
It feels like it, doesn't it? Possibly.
We're going to get a lot of bollockings. I mean,
maybe we should lean into it, see what happens.
I think there's lots of underwater volcanoes, aren't there, apparently? Most volcanoes are actually underwater. Probably.
Bollocking accepted.
Or in space.
Bollocking accepted, or in space or something. Space
on the moon.
Also, volcanoes are probably important for life and stuff because they create things underwater with sort of zinc and, you know.
Great sources of zinc.
Nutrients. Well, volcano, because at the centre of the Earth there is just loads of hot magma. Is that right?
See, that is true, but I do find it hard to believe.
You don't buy it. Doesn't
seem right, does it?
Well, I do think it's true because I'm not.
What do you think there is? The Westfield.
It should just be soil all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just worms and soil.
Not even a rock. Nothing like that. Not even a treasure chest. Just soil.
Just soil all the way through.
I think the occasional treasure chest, but mainly soil. Yeah, I agree with that.
It sort of feels like to me, I think this is clear. I understand that it's full of hot magma.
Or at least that's what you've been told. That's what they want you to think.
And it does seep out in the form of volcanoes. Mm. Wouldn't we be really, really hot?
Sitting on a hot fiery ball all day long. I mean, we are currently really hot.
But you're saying it's underfloor heating, isn't it, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
The world really, in a way, has underfloor heating.
Well, maybe that's what's happening right now. Maybe it's burnt through the soil crust. And that's what we're experiencing.
Have people tried to dig down... I'm coming across as a real idiot this episode. Mm. Have people tried to dig down...
To the centre of the Earth?
Is what I'm basically saying, yeah.
I don't know how far down we've gone, drilling-wise. I've got no idea.
As I understand it, there's... The surface level of the Earth, which is mainly lawn.
Yeah.
Golf course.
Lawn and coal.
Yeah. The natural state is lawn.
Yeah.
But I think coal's lower down, isn't it?
Coal's lower than lawn, yeah.
So you've got lawn. I remember this, so you've got soil and worms. You've got the realm of the worms.
Mm-hmm.
An obscene, horrifying space.
Blind universe of horror.
A blind universe of horror. Insects climbing over family members, eating family members.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge amount of insect-on-insect crime. It's the bloody Wild West down there, if you've ever looked under a rock.
Completely deregulated. Very small state.
Complete, very, very small state. Very, very, very right-leaning. Sort of prepper mentality, isn't it? They're each for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Teeming with... blind, pale, ghastly life, isn't it? And potatoes and stuff. And potatoes. So,
just minding their own business.
Yeah, just minding their own business. You got your tube ore vegetables. So you got your potatoes, your carrots, mm-hmm. Marrows, all the tube ores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beneath that, you have a thing called hummus. Do you remember this?
The hummus layer.
There is a hummus layer. That's what there is. I don't know how deep it is or what kind of hummus it is. I'm not sure if it's would it be
three
lemon?
Chilies?
Would it be
lemon? I don't know.
But there's a layer of hummus, and then there's then you've got civilization stuff, haven't you? So you've got the different civilizations in order going down,
like the Victorians.
Yeah, you'd have us first,
Victorian layer,
whistle on the top.
The medieval layer.
So you've got monocles and stuff. The Victorian layer, you've got monocles, harpsichords. No, not mm-hmm. harpsichords. So you've got, what have you got? Early novels. Fairly, but not completely accurate maps.
Thin swords and canes.
Exactly. And then you've got all the different eras, haven't you? Yeah. As you go down.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Mm.
Something I've never understood it, and I've never had a satisfactory answer. And I think a listener will be able to tell us.
Mm.
But this, again, is like the kind of thing that a primary school child would ask their parents. How come everything is underneath?
Mm.
How come we can dig down and then there's a building from an old time?
Are you wondering where all the extra soil comes from?
Who's delivering the soil? Well, yeah.
Exactly. And surely that means, by definition, that the Earth is growing.
It's getting bigger and bigger.
More and more layers.
Yeah.
Like a spherical lasagna.
absolutely like a spherical lasagna.
Yeah.
But surely, like, if there was like a Roman building, why would that suddenly get covered in soil to the depth of like 6 feet?
Even if your civilization, ending, you've got Visigoths, things are going badly, it doesn't go so badly that you end up covering your entire house in soil. It just doesn't happen. You're right, Ben.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it does happen. Maybe we just haven't experienced that. We might be about to be lawnified. Do you know what I mean? We're making a bit of a mess of things, I would say.
So you think a higher power might come?
It might be that the next era. I don't know what era are we in now. What would you call us? We were
current.
Current. So we're current. Whatever's current, post-current, yeah. They might be about to appear and say, "Right, it's our turn now." Sorry.
Get some soil on you.
We've got a huge delivery of soil coming. We're going to soil you over.
We're golf coursing the whole of Europe.
Yeah, and you're basically in about 400 years' time, you're going to be an exhibit, and that's it. You're done.
It's a good theory, but who do you see these next people being? Where are they going to come from?
I don't know. I don't know where they come from. I don't know how that's organised. Could be different species, for all I know.
I think what's clear is that you're having to reach for pretty out there explanations for this clearly completely bogus theory we've all been sold, isn't it? Which is that there's layers of different eras going downwards. It doesn't make sense. You're having to reach for the idea of like alien beings or something making it happen, right?
So I would be genuinely interested if somebody knows, and I won't just take an email off anyone. I think it's PhD or above level, please.
Yeah.
I'll take a master's in a pinch. If you've just got a sort of BA in history.
What's the discipline you want? Archaeology?
Geology, maybe? Ancient history? I don't know.
Yeah, how does it actually happen? Because I think a lot of the time we're sold these things in generalities, aren't we? It's like, you know, and then what happens is civilizations come and go and the other ones are built on top of them and that kind of thing. But literally, break it down, talk us through it. A Roman house, what happened? How did it become underground?
Yes. And was it aliens? That's
was it aliens? That's what we need to know.
Who is providing this soil?
Where's the soil coming from?
And who's granting the contracts for that soil?
And why, if you had a majestic Roman bathhouse, wouldn't you just go and sit in it and use it?
Yeah, keep maintaining it and just keep it up. And
rather than burying it or it becoming slowly buried?
And you know, this is what happened to the Egyptian, all the great civilizations, the Egyptians, you know, similar stuff, isn't it? I mean, like, surely if you just really concentrate and just keep your eye on the ball, you just stick around. You mean you don't get buried in soil?
Don't get behind with the DIY, basically.
Yeah.
That could happen to your home.
Might have already started.
I think, yeah, the more I'm thinking, I reckon it's probably to do with looting. Like, buildings would get all looted up and in disrepair. But I still don't understand why they end up 8 feet under the ground. Anyway, if Tony Robinson is listening, I'll take an email from Tony Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so below the civilizations, you keep going down. What's under that? So then you've got your coal, haven't you? You've got your coal, you've got
your dinosaur coal, your fossils.
You've got your dinosaur coal.
Oil.
Oil, diesel, calagas, all the different.
Electric.
Unleaded, leaded, super.
Zippo lighter fluid.
Yeah. Zippo lighter fuel. then you got your fire starters for barbecues, that white crumbly stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, terps.
Got terps, turpentine, white spirit. You then got Viacal.
Right.
there's a layer of Viacal.
Silitbang
is down there.
Probably varnish under that, I thought.
Yeah.
Then there's the creosote sea.
Mm-hmm.
There's the creosote sea. You then got a layer of the stuff in Tunnock's tea cakes, that white stuff.
Yes.
That's really, really far down there.
The quasi-marshmallow layer.
That's right, the quasi-marshmallow layer.
Which is sort of the suspension layer of the planet, isn't it?
That's right. It effectively works like the suspension on a Citroën, doesn't it? It just keeps you bobbing about.
Well, a Citroën from the 80s.
A Citroën from the 80s. But it keeps you bobbing about.
Yeah, it's old technology.
Without that, we'd be scraping... We'd be really scraping about, wouldn't we, rather than bobbing?
Yeah, we would.
Then under that, you've got a 19-screen view cinema. Haven't you? Under that...
Well, you need a car park, obviously, for the view.
Yeah, obviously car park for that.
Which is built on more soil.
And then under that, the records of what Boris Johnson actually did during those COVID parties.
No.
And that's what all of that was all about. No, but then, all seriousness though, then very, very, very deep, you then got presumably a layer of just pure diamonds, the diamond layer. Haven't you? Because it's all about being crushed, isn't it? Diamonds. So there'll be loads and loads of diamonds right down near the middle. And then hot magma, and then right in the centre, a Cadbury's chocolate orange.
I think you mean a Terry's chocolate orange, but yes.
Hopefully in its wrapper.
No, it's the one Cadbury's chocolate orange, Ben. That's why it's so special. So look, volcanoes, obviously when they're active, are hot, aren't they? They produce red hot magma, yeah?
Sure.
And I just can't emphasize enough how hot it is at the moment. It really is
27 degrees.
It really is.
Thereabouts.
And
this is Celsius, guys. Okay, just to
this is Celsius. Yeah. So this is the one where when it's 100, it's boiling, or the other one. Now, is that Celsius?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Or centigrade, never or quite know centigrade. Which one you're
meant to say. And is that fan assisted? Is that fan assisted? Is the temperature fan assisted generally or not?
It's gas mark 4 at the moment, isn't it?
It's gas mark 4. Yeah. And that's a preheat because the temperature you get
is preheated.
The temperature you get is the assumption it's preheated while you're asleep, isn't it? Mm. That's the preheating. Mm. So you wake up and it's ready to get a lovely crispy finish on the pie surface that is my face.
Egg wash?
I give it a little egg wash before bed and I'll come up nice and shiny. Milk.
It's just nice. I give myself a little milk wash. For everyone else.
Yeah, that's right. Or if I forget to do that, it's fine. It just means that bits of my face will break and my internal, I'm putting inverted commas here, gravy. That's blood and, well, just the internal liquids in which the organs bob about. Plasma will seep out.
Are you remembering to baste your bedclothes so that you can spatula yourself out easily, first thing?
That's what I do. I baste the bedclothes. So what I do is I take 2 pats of President butter.
Which is actually just goose fat, isn't it?
Which is actually just goose fat. And I'll rub those into my bed sheets, into my pillow, into my bedstead.
Tie yourself up in colourful string.
If I've got it, I'll stick a bouquet of gunny up my ass, and then a couple of bay leaves for the ears. I'm in, and then whole chunks of garlic I like to use this time of year. So I didn't even take it out of the skin. I literally didn't even take it out of the skin. So it's lovely. It comes up lovely. So in the morning, I'm essentially I've been slow cooked.
Well, you're still
overnight.
Nice and soft and juicy, aren't you?
Lovely, soft and juicy, and I've been very much in my own juices. Mm. The bed is now rigged up with a small central gutter, so my fats will have come off. Mm-hmm. So I'll just be rolling around in my true body gravy, and that's the rich stuff. And lovely sort of savoury start to the day.
Just pour you into a kind of tureen, chill in the fridge.
Serve al fresco,
and it'll have a nice. It's kind of, people say it's like eating a very, very meaty jelly, don't they? like a kid's party jelly, but meaty.
There's definitely a cat food feeling, isn't there, with the whole thing?
Yeah, it's got strong cat food.
A very meant to be discarded feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Well, you do have to discard the rind, Mike. Oh, don't make that mistake. I made that mistake.
Don't eat the rind. No. It will keep it fresh, but don't eat the rind. And also, every morning, there'll be a thick it's like a kind of an ice. Imagine a yellow ice skating rink, isn't it? That will be
a piss
across
rink.
The top. Imagine a piss rink. That will have formed on the top every morning. So you have to break through that.
Yeah, but you could keep that afterwards and use it to preserve a ham, for example.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Or keep your high-end IS-10 cool.
Precisely. You break through that with a knight's gauntlet, which certainly if you're renting, most flats now come with.
What was the point you were making about volcanoes?
I think that it's hot. No. What I'm saying is, it's very, very hot at the moment, and I can't see beyond that. Volcanoes are hot, so I think we're on topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's fine. But so, for example, it really takes over my life when it's this hot. It takes over my thinking. Every year, I talk to people about, and I do fairly deep Googling on, is this the year where I finally get one of those aircon machines with the tube that goes out of the window? Have you guys ever done that?
No. I never bought one of those, no.
I got a fan.
Neither have I.
Got a fancy fan.
I can see your fan.
Oh, you have got a is it fancy?
Oh, it's fancy.
It's not on, is it?
No, because that would ruin the recording.
That makes a sound, doesn't it? Yeah, because as soon as the brake comes on, we have to turn the fans on. Yeah, I've got fans, but fans not doing it for me.
Because it's literally 27 degrees here.
It's literally.
Can't cut through it.
And another thing which happens every year is people talk about things like putting a bottle of water in front of the fan. I've tried that, a bottle of cold water in front of the fan. Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, no. Nonsense.
Absolute bollocks. But when you read about these things online, it's like, oh my God, I'll be making my own home air conditioning unit. It'll be colder than Dubai Airport.
Which is the coldest place on earth.
Which is the coldest place on earth.
It's like, there's all this counterintuitive advice that you're meant to leave your windows closed, actually, so that warm air doesn't get in. And you're meant to actually put your heating on.
Because it forces the heat out.
Forces the heat out, exactly, Mike.
Put your ski gloves on, put your salopettes on, if you've got any. Drink hot tea, the other thing, isn't it? Drink hot tea
or bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse. The hotter the drinks.
And get those pelts out of the attic, for the love of God.
Get the pelts out and ovens up to max, fan assisted and ovens open. You've got to fight fire with fire, isn't it? That's what they say. So every year I think about will I get that thing with the pipe that goes out of the window, and then I fall down on the idea of how will you seal the rest of the window, because there's some sort of seal you have to put on it, and I suspect that'll be a nightmare. Well, another thing I've noticed is if you stay where you started all day, mm-hmm. you're okay, and it's also a handy rhyme. If you stay where you started all day, you're actually okay.
Okay, that would quite work for me. So if I've passed out on the bathroom floor in the middle of the night, I should just stay there.
Just stay there.
That would actually work.
Just stay there. Because what I found is it's when I come home in the heat and the flat's been heating up all day that you walk in and it's like that wall of hot air is like walking into the heart of a volcano. Yeah. Whereas if you stay in the flat or the house or home, wherever you are, all day, you wake up. What happens is you get the frog, the bald frog effect.
Go on.
Which is you're slowly heated up. Well, you know about boiling a frog.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said bald frog. I thought you said bald, the bald frog effect. It was an effect, it's a phenomenon I wasn't familiar with.
Well, because all frogs are bald frogs, aren't they? Unless they're small weasels. Which is what you shave a small weasel, you get a frog.
Which is also known as a fool's frog.
False frog. So if you stay where you started all day, you'll be okay, because you gradually warm up. You don't really notice it. It's when you pop out into an aircon space, e.g. a Tesco, Metro, or Costa, then pop back.
Yeah.
You know, there are crocodiles on Oxford Street. It's 27 degrees. Yeah. Welcome to Three Bean Salad, Extra Beans.
What? Hold on, I thought we'd already done that bit, Henry. Wait a second.
And also, that's not Henry Packer. That's Henry the Seventh.
Behold! But wait, I'm not actually Henry the Seventh. Look, I'm going to take my beard off. I'm actually H.G. Wells. It wasn't a novel. It was a documentary book.
Right, here's some extra bits from our recording that we did about time travel.
And also, Ben, why have you suddenly got a beard? And there's a younger version of you next to you, and you've got a newspaper, and on the front of it there's you, but you look like a dinosaur.
I've never had a hemorrhoid yet in my life.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I'm very much in the danger zone. It's not long. I'm being stalked by them. my meat-only diet.
Yes, you are. You're a hemorrhoid crisis point waiting to happen, aren't you? When it happens with you, it'll happen. It'll happen quickly. It'll happen hard.
Well, the pressure's from the bean machine alone.
Yes.
Oh, that's it.
And that's why you can never take it off now, because if you do, that space will be instantly filled with, those, what Blake called those dark underfruits.
I watched a video yesterday about how one of the Canary Islands has got a volcano underneath it, and it's the kind of volcano where it won't erupt. It's just the whole top of the island will fall into it.
Oh, blimey.
And then the whole thing will just sort of turn into a huge lava explosion. And I think that's what it's going to be like when it hits me.
It's absolutely going to decimate the tourist industry to your ass.
Of my ass, yes. Absolutely, yeah.
Would you depend on?
And obviously tragic for anyone visiting at the time. But you can't, you know, when it happens, but you can't rule out holidays based on that kind of thing, isn't it? You've got to just go for it. You know, if you want to visit
one of the wonders of the world.
A UNESCO heritage arse.
It's your Ruby anniversary holiday. You've been planning this. You've been saving for years. Of course you're going to go.
Of course, you've got to. And again, you're safer getting into a car, aren't you? No, you're not as safe getting into a car.
Than holidaying in my arse.
Which way around is it? People say that to make you feel better about doing things.
Getting into a car.
There's a thing where people try and make you feel better about danger by saying, comparatively, cars are really dangerous. And you do that all the time. And you think,
you idiot. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, you'd be more at risk in a car than visiting Ben's arse. Obviously, if you have to get to Ben's arse by car. So, but you actually
you have to do both on this occasion.
Yeah, you have to do both on this occasion.
There's no international airport as yet.
There's no international airport. And please do not try and show off by thinking you can walk to the centre. You can't. There's a car park there for a reason. You don't have to be macho and show off. You drive to the centre,
or there is
you?
A bridle path.
There's a bridle path.
For those with sturdy horses. That's it.
And once you reach the central zone, there's a wet staircase to the apex. Isn't there?
Well, you're invited to light a candle.
But of course, but do not, for the love of God, do not take off your helmet beyond the red zone. Do not take off your helmet.
And don't look back. Don't look back.
Don't look back or up. Don't look back or up. And when you get to the very, very centre, you have to cross your eyes.
And then you can see a 3D dolphin coming out.
You can see a 3D dolphin. But if you uncross them, a very, very real dolphin-shaped hemorrhoid will decapitate you. It's funny, isn't it? What we're talking about here with visiting the past, we're actually talking about a holiday, aren't we? That's what it would be. We're talking about spending a week or two in the past, let's say. That's essentially a holiday. So you'd have the psychology of the holiday, which is you'd build up to it, get very excited, you'd pack. You would do a bit of research, probably not as much as you thought you would because you're busy with life. But
you'd buy some special clothes.
Yeah.
You'd have to guess exactly what size Laura Dern is.
Yeah.
To make sure it all fits.
Yeah. You would get what kind of coats and stuff we're talking about? Because I know you prepared. It'd be very similar for what you did for your European Odyssey, wasn't it? Which is you
probably want a sort of emergency sort of roll up little anorak just in case.
That folds into its own pocket. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, Ben, you got a lot of that kind of stuff, didn't you, for your trip? You thought a lot about fibres and weights.
Merino socks.
Merino socks.
Merino pants.
Yeah.
Socks with pockets.
Well, merino everything, because merino, isn't it, is the fabric which is hot when wet, cold when dry, hot when cold. It can be hot when cold, cold when hot. It can be anything. It's kind of like an intelligent fabric. Off when on, up when down. It kind of like, if it's wet.
Soggy at altitude.
But it retains its warmth when wet, and it can stay cool when hot. It can literally do those things.
It is a wonder fabric.
It's an amazing fabric. So you'd want some merino stuff.
It's a merino kit, which you'd probably be killed for immediately, wherever you ended up and true. Whenever.
The other thing is, if you went back in time, you've got the knowledge, right, of a modern human.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you know about...
how long a yogurt lasts in the fridge.
Yeah, but you also know about, like, the possibility of nuclear power.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know about the basics of gene therapy, vaccines, all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't actually know enough about it to implement those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you
yeah.
just have to yeah. be like, guys, there's this thing. I'm not lying. If you find some uranium, I don't know how, but with your help, we can do this. And it turns into electricity.
So it's this thing. So it's this thing, right? It's called the Large Hadron Collider. Yes, I heard ye the first time, but ye have just drawn a circle. No. But no, there's another circle within the circle. Yeah, yes, ye have drawn two circles on ye parchment, but I still don't know what ye are talking about. And it will take us 5 months to get to Switzerland in the first place to build this. No, but it's not. It's complicated. Ye have drawn little wires and technical. You have drawn a bit, little technical bits on the side, but I don't think that's enough to.
And that will make the cow run around inside the circle. Cow... is what you're saying.
Remember, this cow is my livelihood and has been my livelihood for 17 generations.
Can't be colliding the cow with someone else's ram. That works.
I spend a lot of my energies in life trying to avoid the cow colliding into other cows. So already, bugger ye off, please. Leave me and my family alone. Bugger ye off, please.
But like, what things do you think you could tell people about that would actually help their lives, that you could explain well enough that they could do anything about
and bring to bear properly?
Yeah, so I guess washing your hands, I would probably try and get across that.
What with?
They've got no access to soap or water that isn't cholera ridden.
Oh, good point.
You could probably save billions of lives, couldn't you, with could you invent
just ask them, what are you doing with your turds? What are you doing with your turds, lads?
Hey, guys, what are you doing with your turds these days? Oh, you just feed them to my family.
That might be
That's
it.
A good keep point. I think, yeah, turd management, yeah.
Mm. Turd management and undercooked chicken, probably. That's about it.
Oh, it's lovely and pink. Maybe macOS 14? Hi, Sierra.
I'm sorry. We've been talking for 5 days. I still do not understand what an operating system is. I'm sorry. I just can't.
You'd have to explain what Sierra meant. And even hi. I mean, back in those days, they didn't do much hi anything, really, did they, particularly? Probably wasn't a very useful word for quite a long time.
So you're saying the cow itself is like the herd ye wear, you see, and the software be like internal organs which ye put in the cow, which can operate the cow and they can be upgraded? You want to pull my cow's stomach out of its arse? Bugger ye off!
It'd be really hard, wouldn't it?
Like, is there a tincture you could sell that would actually work?
I mean, I could tell people about being in the moment. I think that's something we've learned, isn't it?
Really useful bit of advice for a feudal peasant.
Guys, I want to talk to you about a little something called mindfulness.
There are some times where people, there's some situations where people invoke an idea of time travel indirectly. For example, in football commentary, football punditry,
yeah,
it's quite common for a commentator to say, well, I tell you what, you know, Arsenal might be disappointed with second place, but if you went back to the beginning of the season and told Mikel Arteta and, you know, and offered him second place in the league, he'd bite your hand off. And it's always he'd bite your hand off.
I thought you were going to say, he smacked that into next week. That's another bit of football punditry.
Oh, there you go. That's another bit of punditry. Yeah. But the what I always think around that is, hang on, you're saying that if Alan Shearer travelled back in time. So we've got Alan Shearer in a time machine. We're all just accepting this, yeah. Fine. Alan Shearer's cracked it, it turns out.
He's got a bit more time on his hands these days, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's right. And turns out the skills involved in being a striker, a solid, sort of in-the-box striker.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to contribute a lot in midfield, but a combative,
Well, could it be that the number of headers he's done, the number of balls he's taken to the brain, has just knocked it in such a way that he's...
He's re-jangled the synapses.
Exactly.
He's seen a new truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was great with his head, wasn't he, Henry?
He was great with his head. And now he can just, you know, just spew football banalities all day long. But his right hand is calculating perfect and beautiful, beautifully perfect maths equations, complex maths equations. His right hand just goes, he doesn't know what it's doing. By the way, another way in which football commentators talk about time a lot is by saying at the end of the day. Isn't it? That's time
travel. But aren't they usually doing that at the end of the day?
At the end of the day. Well, it is the end of the day, but at the end of here, at the end of the day, where we find ourselves, I've got to say that at the end of the day.
Or as Sting would say, the end of the day, or...
I'm doing a perpetual cruncho. It's a living hello. So what he's saying is if Alan Shearer went back in time to the beginning of the season and offered Mikel Arteta second place. So already Mikel Arteta is going, sorry, I'm in the middle of training session, you come in here. Just hear me out, Mun. Hear me out, Mun. Okay. I've just come out of the locker. I know there's a lot of smoke and stuff in the room. That's because of the technology that I've worked on. Because
I don't understand it. It just comes out of me.
It just comes out, right? I can't fully explain it. Like, but fact is, I think it's due to I did a lot of headers in my youth and in my career, and it dislodged my brain in such a way that I can understand complex maths equations. I do quite beautiful geometry and so on my training. But don't touch the chinning board. They're using this for tactics. Yes. Is like that accent's a bit bad, isn't it?
That one.
Which one?
Which one do you say? Which one do you mean? But you are painting a wonderful picture, Henry.
Look. I'm going to get security to get you out of it. Listen to me, Mikel Arteta, right? Current Arsenal manager. Listen to me, right? Look at the telly, right? That's me on Match of the Day right now, and I'm right here, stood in front of you right now. Can only be that I'm from the future. I can't believe they've pre-recorded that shit. Oh, no. No, that's not... Anyway... Anyway,
where's Mikel Arteta from?
Spain.
Okay.
But he was educated in?
Brazil, the Congo, Albania, and Mars. But hear me out, man. Listen, I haven't got time to explain it, right? I've been here for over 2 hours. My head will explode. I can offer you second place right now. I don't explain the process. I can't explain the process behind it. I can offer you... get off my hand! Why are you trying to bite my hand off, you mad bastard? Fucking hell! That's not what would happen. Mikel would not be trying to bite his hand off. Mikel would believe him. He'd have no. Do you know what I mean? It'd be such a weird situation to offer someone second place. Also...
He's being punked in some way.
Under what authority can he offer him second place as well? And how would it work out?
Under the authority of Match of the Day, the highest authority.
Fair enough.
Also, his whole job is about training people for football games. That's his raison d'etre. That's why he's going to forego that and he just gets second place now? So is it a time travel where Alan Shearer goes to the past, gets Mikel Arteta into the space time travel machine with him and the whole team? Saka, Martinelli,
Thomas
Aaron Ramsey,
Partey.
Thomas Partey, Ben White... Tierney, some of the guys on the bench, gets all the training squad, the families, because we don't want them spilling the beans. They're going to be like, where's my husband gone?
Where's Trossard?
Where's my darling Trossard? He has to get them all in the spaceship, then travels back to now, and they're in second place. That's, A, they've lost a lot of time with their kids. When they have kids, they've lost 2 months, they're never getting that back. They've lost the whole season, more than 2 months. Do you know what I mean? Like, the whole... Do you see what I mean? That just doesn't make any sense.
It's not going to go down well with the fan base either, is it?
Exactly. There's no team there. They just wait to the end of the season and then suddenly they're second.
It's not going to feel earned.
It's not going to feel earned. If you could offer them second place, if I could go back in time and offer him second place.
This is just a complex way in which Henry is processing and getting over the fact that Arsenal bottled the league this year.
It feels like you're trying to blame Alan Shearer.
And time travel. Oh, no, I've set the coordinates too far back. I'm in medieval England. Oh, no.
Arsenal's just a grassroots team at this point.
Oh, no. It's actually the Woolwich Arsenal. They don't actually move to their current destination in North London. So,
I'm in bloody Roman times, right? So you take a pig's bladder, you expand it until it's like a circle, right? And then you kick it about.
King Alan the First.
And I think you're right, Ben. That's helped me process it. You know, I'm ready to actually admit it. We did bottle it. We bottled it. We bottled it. We let ourselves down, but we go again. Okay, thanks. That's my system. Another quick one from football is,
yeah,
people will say, okay, what something sometimes what happens is you'll go and watch a football game, right? And it's like an amazing game, and something incredible happens. Mm-hmm. Like Alan Shearer appears out of nowhere in the middle of the pitch, hovering.
Bunch of dry ice.
With dry ice and like blue gas flying out of his head. And going, I don't know what's going on. I've lost control of the coordinates. I don't know what the hell's going on. And then a dinosaur appears at the end of the pitch and starts chasing Alan Shearer around the pitch.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have messed with this stuff. I'm messing with the very fabric of time and space itself. You shouldn't have done that. Plus, I should have signed for Man U. I shouldn't have stayed with Newcastle.
But do you know what I mean? So, yeah, no, you'll go to a game, right? And say there's an amazing thing happens in a game, like the ball just bounces off six people's heads and goes in or something extraordinary, yeah? Then what happens is you'll meet up with a friend of yours later on and they'll say, oh, God, you know what? I wish I'd gone to that game. I could have gone. I had a ticket. And then...
But you nicked it.
You nicked it, you fucking bastard. And they'll be like, I could have gone, but a thing happened where I couldn't come at the last minute. I had to look after the kids. And I would have gone, damn, because I wish I'd come. I would have seen that amazing goal. Now, do you understand what the problem is with that, logically?
Is it because if they were in the stadium at the very moment that it had bounced off all their heads, they might have farted or something and then caused this chain reaction where everything goes wrong and everything's different?
That's right.
Right.
And then you look at the newspapers and all the headlines disappear and suddenly it's like, the dinosaurs are still in control.
In City Hall.
So for me, it's like, well, it wouldn't. Who knows if that would have happened if you'd been. I mean, not necessarily that even that you would have affected it, but just if you run that game again, does it happen? Probably not. I mean, certainly not. Or does it? Do you know what I mean? Because they're saying, if I'd gone, I would have seen that goal. But if you'd gone... That game essentially is starting again from scratch. And even if you're not affecting it, it's like you throw the dice, you know? That's all life is, baby. You throw the dice.
And then that friend of yours is telling you that he can't meet up next week, as it turns out. And he doesn't seem to have a particularly good excuse for why he can't meet. And then he stops answering your texts.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And what's the explanation? Well, is it another friend that's gradually let me drift out of their life and doesn't get in touch so much? Or... has he joined those legion of my ex-friends who now live in the past fighting dinosaurs and preserving our way of life at their expense?
Are you saying that if your friend had made it to the match, Arsenal might have won the league this year?
Oh, we're back to square one.
Odegaard, such a beautiful team. Why?
Chisel.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Until next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Help yourself to a cheese pineapple bat-on. It's just little cubes of cheese covered in pineapple and just with two sausages on either side. The whole thing's drenched in martini and encased in a lamb haunch on a river of Schweppes. It's the talk of the town. You've got to come to the dinner party. You got to come to my dinner party this Saturday. There's going to be like five dentists, like four pilots. Is that still working?
Yeah.
It's pretty sexy.
Working its magic?
And I've even managed to get a dentist pilot.
Yeah. He can drill me at both ends. No, I don't know what it means either. He certainly took me on a trip, I'll tell you that much, with sex and dentistry and piloting. Yeah.
He really gave me a filling and a root canal. I don't know what that means.
But it's strongly suggestive.